Let's also clear up the story about Christ releasing seven devils out of Mary Magdalene. Luke 8:2, Mark 16:9. The early church had already decided that Mary Magdalene was a sinner and prostitute Jesus would eventually redeem. In setting up this church-acknowledged farce, they did some elaboration of the facts with their Bible editing. What better way to confirm that Mary Magdalene was a sinner than by having seven devils within her that caused the sinning? Having Jesus release those devils would immediately turn her into a redemptive and saved sinner who would be worthy of being the first to see Christ after his supposed resurrection. Francine says that this whole premise of Mary Magdalene having seven devils is completely false. As I stated earlier, Jesus had known Mary since he was a child, loved her, and eventually married her. It's also strange that the seven devils, or demons, later on became the seven deadly sins from the church. Jesus had learned from his studies in India the belief that all illness came from bad jinns or demons because they didn't know about germs or disease. The practice of bloodletting to bleed out the bad humors or demons came from this belief. Jesus knew he was communicating with an illiterate populace and had to use the beliefs and terminologies they would accept. Francine says he knew the difference, but no one would have understood, so he used the only resources he had available. Can you imagine how hard it would be to tell an uneducated and superstitious populace that their long-held belief in a devil and demons causing illness was not true? It would have been impossible for him to convince them out of their beliefs, and he would have been laughed at and scorned even more than he already was. He took the route of expediency and let them keep their belief he was casting out demons instead of healing illness. His mission was too important to risk being sabotaged because of archaic beliefs. In Luke 8:3, Mary Magdalene, Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and a woman named Susanna, and many others ministered to Christ and his disciples, and were women of means or substance, meaning they were wealthy. This verifies what I said earlier about Mary Magdalene being from a wealthy family. These women and others helped support Jesus and his disciples in their travels by paying their expenses and ministering to their needs, such as mending, washing, and cooking. Jesus and Mary Magdalene were already married at Cana, and several other disciples were also married, and we must assume that some, if not all, of their wives traveled with them. Jesus and his disciples, therefore, had the resources to travel at will, and it made sense in his public life to travel with women. Even though it was frowned on to have single women traveling with men, the endless multitudes that followed Jesus made it easier because they blended into the crowd, so to speak. His core group looked like a group of people all together in a society, and Jesus in his public life was trying to show the equality of men and women. As the fame of Jesus spread, he gathered more and more followers and disciples. His entourage numbered in the hundreds, and many would be sent before him to proclaim his arrival in places in Galilee and Judea. They would send the word to the general populace that a new teacher and prophet was coming, and that he could heal and perform miracles. Wherever Jesus went, crowds and multitudes awaited him, as well as many who needed the miracle of healing. Among those multitudes were also a good number of priests and Pharisees, who reported back to the Sanhedrin Christ's every action and word. Jewish laws and customs were very strict, and the slightest breach of those laws and customs would cause a person to be rebuked and punished. Jesus, having studied and gained wisdom in foreign lands, felt many of these laws and customs were stupid and foolish. He especially disagreed with the law of the Sabbath, which prevented good works and deeds from being done on the Sabbath day. He broke that law continuously many times according to the Bible. He forgave people their sins, which was considered to be blasphemy because only God could forgive sins, and he quickly found himself at odds with the Pharisees, priests, and Sanhedrin. If he was accosted by a priest or Pharisee concerning the law, he would inevitably accuse them of hypocrisy and would give them a clear explanation of why he was right and they were wrong. The general populace were awed and marveled at his teachings and explanations, and he became even more popular.